Parsha Sukkos begins with the Parsha Paraduma and the Tumas Ohel. Before we get to our main topic, just a brief observation that was a little bit in Yani Diyoma as follows. A couple of weeks ago is when people convert in the Batei Din under office. I usually review the documentation either before or afterwards. So someone in one of the Batei Din that work with us chose as their middle Hebrew name, their Megayer, Chumim, roughly translated as Browns. Why did he choose Browns? Because apparently there are two people with last names that were connected to Brown that he had a shaykhus to, so he thought it would be nice to take upon himself the name Chumim or Brown. So my observation was that, typically speaking, Brown is an adjective and not a noun, even though you could have Brown as an adjective, but more commonly it's a noun. It's an adjective, not a noun, and therefore plural would be a little bit strange to have a plural of an adjective. But I came across the following comment attributed to the Kotzker, quoted in the Pardes Yosef HaChadash, the beginning of the pseudo Pardes Yosef, the beginning of your Parsha, that Kotzker apparently observed that why does it say Para Aduma Tmima? It should have said Para Tmima Aduma, because Para Tmima is the noun, a wholesome, unblemished cow, and Aduma, brown, is the adjective. So it should have said Para Tmima Aduma. Why does it say Para Aduma Tmima? Because when it comes to the paraduma, brown is not the adjective, but it's part of the shem etzem, because since it can't have a single discolored hair, the fact that it is a brown cow is part of the noun, and therefore it's more appropriate the Torah refers to it as para aduma tmima, that para aduma is all the shem etzem. Then they quote that apparently Rabbi Pesach Frank responded to someone that the same is true of para adam. It should have said adam para, a wild, or whatever you translate para, man. Why does it say para adam? Because there's some people where para is a shem etzem, and the fact that they happen to be humans is incidental. Okay. What I wanted to discuss today, apropos to the parsha of Tumas Ohel, is the famous position of the Rokeach pertaining to the status of an Eshes Kohen who is pregnant. The Rokeach in Simen Shin Tesvav writes as follows: Eshes Kohen Muberes Muteres Likanis Baolames. If you have a pregnant Eshes Kohen, she's permitted to walk into an Olames. Disvex Vekuhu Shema Nefelhu O Shema Nekevahi. That fundamentally it would have been prohibited for an Eshes Kohen to walk into an Ola Meis. However, there are grounds to be makel because of a Svex Veka, as if we knew that an Eshes Kohen is pregnant with a male child, it would be usher for her to walk into an Ola Meis. The only reason that it's mutter is because of Svex Veka. Maybe it's a Nefel, or maybe it's an Akeva, so you have better than 50% chance that there isn't going to be Tumas Ohel that is going to affect a male Vlad inside this Eshes Kohen. But again, short of that, it would have been Aser. Magen Avraham quotes this Rokeach in Simen Shin Mem Gimel in Arachayim. What does this have to do with Hilcha Shabbos? So this is a Simen where the Mechaber briefly discusses the din of Katan Ochel Nevelas, whether Mitzuvah Lafrisho, what are the responsibilities of any person, what are the responsibilities of a father to prevent a minor from violating Yisurim. So the Mechaber writes, Katan Ochel Nevelas Ein Bezde Mitzuvah Lafrisho, Aval Av Mitzuvah Ligarbo Lafrisho. The father has a higher level of obligation to ensure that his sons do not violate Averos, little sons. Maybe Mr. Deraiso, Ulachila Biadayim, that's Asura Fila Dvarm Shasumi Debe Sofrim, the Khin Asura Gila Bakhil Shabbos, Samari La Fila Dvarm Shahim Shim Shvas, and that's why this happens to be in Hilcha Shabbos. Says the Magen Avraham, Sifkatan Beis, the second half of the Sifkatan. Used to this pagination. Okay, so the left-hand column, about half, a little more than halfway through the fat lines. Mikol Makom, Kosav Hashach b'shem Harakeach. So the Shach in Yoredeya Simin Shin Ayin Aleph Hilchos Tumas Kohanim in Hilchos Aveilus. The Shach quotes the following in the name of the Rakeach we just quoted: Eishes Kohen Muberes Mitaris Ikanis Wala Mesa Tvekahu, Shami in a cave, Shami who Nefel, fine. Vitarach Ian says the Magan of Ram. The Be'ilav Hachi Mutter. Why do you have to come out to the Sex Veka? I mean, the Rokech is saying, if not for the Sex Veka, it would have been Usser. It should have been Mutter anyway, says the Magan of Ram. Why? The Tara Blua Eina Mitama. What are we talking about? The Uber is inside the mother, so that is Blua. That's all included inside the mother. It's not exposed to the element of Tuma. Tara Blua Eina Mitama. Kedisa Mishnah Hey Perek Zayin De Olos. The Kosmar Mekomas, the Mishnayis, and the Rambam to that effect. What's the Rambam? So the Rambam writes in Perek Hafei Tumas Meis Halacha Yud Aleph. Misha Yalda Shnei Yeladim Echad Chayv Echamesis is based on a Mishnah in Olos, Perek Zayin Mishnah Dalet and Hey. So if a woman gives birth to two children, one of them is dead, one's alive. Ima Mesi Yatzar Rishon Hachay Tor. So if the dead one comes out first, then the living one is Tahor. Sharei Lanagaba Misha Yatzar Laver Olos. Because the living baby that's born second never came into contact with the dead baby outside of the mother's womb. And it had the baby come in contact with the dead baby inside the mother's womb, not a problem. If they would have come in contact outside, you would have a problem. But since the mace came out first, there was never contact with the tumah outside of the mother's womb, and therefore the chai is tahor. So that's the din of tumah blua. That if the this is tumah blua means that if the davar hamitame that is tameh that's making something else tameh is blua, then that doesn't convey tumah. And then the flip is tara blua. Here we're talking about someone who's otherwise tahor in the baby's womb being affected by the tumas mace outside. So that is a din in the Rambam Hilchas Mikvos, as the Minchas Chinuch explains or quotes in Mitzvah Reish Samach Gimel. The Rambam Mikvos Beis Mikvos Alachaches has halacha that if a person swallows a tabas tumeya, then that person remains tahor. That tara blua is not mitama. So if you swallow something that's tame, you remain tahor even though you swallow something tame because it's not mitame internally. So tara blua is not mitame, or something blua is not mitame, it's not mitame. So why are we concerned about the Sfek Seika? If we're going to the Sfek Seika, it should have been mutter anyway, because we're only talking about Tuma Blua. Okay. That's the Magen Avraham's Kasha on the Rokech. The Minchas Chinuch has a little bit of an arichas there. Reish Samach Gimel Os Gimel, Yehud doesn't get up. So he points out, among other things, that maybe this has to do with Ober Yerachimo. But we should say that if the... Yep.
What?
No. We should say that if you hold Ober Yerachimo, so every part of the mother is considered an extension of the mother, so the Ober should be considered one of the Evare Ha'em, and therefore, if a woman goes into a Beis HaKvaros, then just like she becomes Tameya, then the Uber becomes Tameya as well, because it's an extension of her, Uber Yerech Imo, and that's not considered Tuma Blua, which would be why you'd have to come on to the Sfek Sveka. If not for the Sfek Sveka, it would be us to go into the cemetery if you know, let's say, that there's a male Uber inside the mother, because once the mother becomes Tameya, the Vlad, the Uber, becomes Tameya as well as an extension of her, if we say Uber Yerachimo. The Minchas Chinuch does point out, not necessarily so poshut. What does it mean, Uber Yerachimo, as far as the Uber is concerned? So the mother is a female. So Tumas Kohanim is only relevant to male Kohanim, not to female Kohanim, not to Eishes Kohanim. So how do we conceive, pardon the pun, of this Uber in utero? If we're saying Uber Yerach Imo, so then that's an extension of the mother. It should be part of the mother's body, and Vaitur shouldn't be subject to Tumas Kohanim. So the Binyan Siyan has a back and forth about this in the Tshuvas Binyan Siyan HaChadoshos, Simen Tzadi Zayin. So first he quotes the Chidon, the Birka Yosef, who raises this issue of Uber Yerach Imo, and therefore, if not for the Sfek Sveka Cheshben, it would be usher to go into the cemetery because, sorry, it would have been, if not for the Cheshben, a svetzveka is not considered tumah blua, so it's been usher to go into the cemetery. And the shoel in the binyan scene raises the following. No, if you say uber yarachimo, maybe you should say that the vlad, the uber, is still considered to be a zachar. Why are you assuming that it's considered an extension of the mother legamri? Maybe because it's going to end up being a male, so that still has a status as such. And the binyan scene doesn't think that's correct. That uber yarachimo means in totality that it's considered another aver of the mother, and therefore if the mother is a mother, then the uber would be considered a female, an extension of the female as well, and not subject to tumas kohanim. Then the Minchas Chinuch raises another issue here. Maybe this has to do with the Gemara in Yevama Samech Zayin Amud Aleph, that uber b'mei imo zarhu, that if a Asia's Kohen is pregnant with a baby, we don't know if the baby will be a boy or a girl, so according to Rabbi Yossi, that uber is posel ein machil. If there are no other children and the husband's deceased, so you can't be machil the avodim truma on the basis of this uber, even if the uber may be a zachar, because uber b'me'im b'zaru, even if we know that it's a boy, but it has the status of a non-kohen until the baby is born. So maybe that's relevant here as well. If you say uber b'me'im b'zaru, so this uber is a non-kohen, so forget about tumah blua. It's there's not the question doesn't get off the ground anyway, because the uber is a non-kohen, so you don't have to come on to tumah blua. Rabbi Chanan points out, Kovet Shiurim Chelik Beis Simen Mem Aleph. Chelik Beis Simen Mem Aleph. He quotes a Reb Zalman Lifshitz of Brisk. Not sure who that was. That maybe you'd say the following. That even if that's true, that Uber B'me'im B'zarhu, the fact that the baby when it's born is going to be a male Kohen, and now you're creating a situation where that Uber is subject to Tumah, if not for the Tumah Blue issue. So maybe that should be usher, because you're creating a situation where it'll turn out that a male Kohen was subject to Tumas Meis, to Tumas Oel. Meaning, even if now you say theoretically it doesn't have the status of a male, but you are creating Tumah in a way that eventually the baby's going to be born will be a male Kohen, and that Tumah will remain, so maybe it's usher to cause a Kohen to become Tameh, Tumas Meis, even if he's not a Kohen at the moment. So creating, putting into motion a situation that's going to result in a Kohen being Tameh, maybe that itself is problematic. So if Tumah Blue, I'm sorry? So if it becomes Tameh now, if not for Tumah Blue would tell you it's not becoming Tameh. But if not for Tumah Blue, if Tumah Blue was not Metameh, or was Metameh, so then you'd have a situation where the Tumah remains. So you're creating a situation now where down the road it's going to result in someone then having the status of a Kohen having been Tameh. That's what Rabbi Chana quotes. So then, if that's the case, then the Magen Avraham's Kasha gets off the ground. Because then you have to be down at Tumah Blua, maybe the Tumah is not going to be, is not going to affect the Vlad anyway. But then he says, maybe you have to come on to a sex fake. Minchas Chinuch says, maybe you have to come on to a sex fake for the following reason. That maybe in a chanam, if you have a regular Ashes Kohen, who herself is a Bas Yisrael, and now she's an Ashes Kohen. Okay, scratch that for the moment. Okay. So as we noted, the Shach quotes this Rokeach LaHalacha without qualification in Hilchos Avelos Shin Ayin Aleph Sechatan Aleph Neshach. That's a few pages later in the Mar Mekamos. And the Mishnah Berurah quotes this as well. The Mishnah Berurah, third page of the Mar Mekamos, there in Hilchos Shabbos Himen Shemem Gimel, the end of Sechatan Gimel, Mishnah Berurah writes as follows: Mikal Nakom Eishes Kohen Muberes Sharkarbu Yamehaloledes. An Eishes Kohen who's about to give birth, we'll come back to that formulation in the Shabbat in a few moments. Muteres Likanis Echachila Bolanes, the Av Shanir Lanish Avade Telesham Vlad, Shema Yezachar Vietmasham. So even though she's very likely going to give birth in that location, and maybe it'll be a Zachar, Afila Hachimutar, the Svexveka who Shema Yenakeva, the Shemi Hainefel. So we'll come back to this formulation of the Mishnah Berurah in a moment, but the Mishnah Berurah only applies this Rokeach in the situation of a woman who is Karva Yamehel Ledes, where we're concerned that she's going to give birth any moment, that she's going into the cemetery to have her baby, and the baby could be born any moment. So we'll come back to that in a moment, but that formulation of Mishnah Berurah seems to reflect Tshuva Saradvaz. Take a look at the next page, Piskei Tshuva Shin Ayin Aleph Sivkatan Aleph. So he quotes in the Behet of the Rokeach, that's the Shach quotes, he quotes in Magen Avram. And then he says, I am a Shuvah Redvaz, Hachadosha Simon Resh. We're in the Piskei Shuvah in the bottom of Shin Ayin Aleph. I am a Shuvah Redvaz, Hachadosha, Shif, Shagamkein, Hachi, Ala Rokeach, the same Kasha of the Magen Avram, and Mataritz. Da Rokeach, Mairi, Beisha, Shakarva, Yamel, Aledes. No. The Rokeach is not talking about Stam, a pregnant woman. The Rokeach is talking about a woman who's about to give birth. V'yeshlochu shema yosi avlad rosho v'nimsa shehu kiyolid. V'enitar blu. What's the concern? That she's going to the cemetery, let's call it a hospital, but in the case of the Rokeach, she's going to the cemetery, she's about to give birth any minute. Why she's going to the cemetery if she's about to give birth any minute besides the point? So she's going to the cemetery, she's about to give birth any minute, so we're worried that maybe the Vlad's going to stick an aver out before the rest of it's ready to come out, and then the Vlad's going to be subject to Tuma Soel. And there you can't hide behind Tuma Blua because Uber's already sticking out his head. That, okay. And that's where Sveksveka comes in. Up until that point where she's about to give birth, there's no Shaila whatsoever because it's Tuma Blua. It's only when there's a Chashash. Maybe it's going to stick its head out and come back in, and then you can't hide behind Tuma Blua, so even there you have the Sveksveka. That seems to be where the Mishnah Berurah is coming from. The Mishnah Berurah doesn't just quote the Rokeach. The Rokeach, Kipshuto, there's no qualification. The Rokeach just says, Aishas Kohen is allowed to go into the cemetery because of Sveksveka. This is the Radvaz is Okimta to get out of the Magen Avraham. Magen Avraham came after the Radvaz, but get out of the same kasha that the Magen Avraham asked, that it's only Hachamai Skin on where she's holding at the end of the pregnancy, and her worry maybe the Vlad's going to stick his head out. And that seems to be where the Mishnah Berurah is coming from. Karvu Yamel Aledes, the Afshinir Alona Shavadeh, Tela Sham Vlad, she's about to give birth, and maybe it'll be a boy, still, it's mutter because of a svek sveka. The Yavitz, Rabbi Yaakov Endin, that the Pitzkei Shuvah is also inside, although he doesn't really tell you what he says, you have to look inside. Shuvah Sayavitz Tehle Beisim Kufayin Zayin, so you have it here, in the classic print edition. The Yavitz, we'll read it outside. The Yavitz quotes from a Shiari Knesset HaGadola, who quotes this Rokeach, and he writes that in certain communities, Shiari Knesset HaGadola was in Constantinople, that in certain communities they had such a kapeda that a pregnant woman shouldn't be Mitami Lameis, a pregnant Eishes Kohen. So the Shiari Knesset HaGadola says, V'yeroli sheminag borosu. It's an unfounded minag, because there's no tumas to speak about until the baby's born. And in Constantinople, the minhag was not to be makbid about this. Okay. Then the Yavitz says, not so fast. The Rokeach is based on a svek sveka. Sounds like a reasonable argument. Apparently, there is Tumah that's shayach in an Uber. So, if you want to be makbid, maybe that's a minhag chasidus, but you can't call it minhag buris. Meaning, the fact that the rokeach says you need the sfeksmeker to get out of it means that we're not. If there's a minhag in certain communities that an eishes kohen wouldn't go into a cemetery, it's not coming from nowhere. Even though the rokeach is matir, but it's all because of sfeksmeker. So it's not unreasonable to prove midas chasidus to avoid relying on a sfeksmeker, especially a sfeksmeker that maybe is questionable in this situation. Because it's pretty likely that the baby may be a boy anyway. And then the Yavis writes, towards the end, Aval yesh o din sheni, the last bold word about five lines at the end of the chew on the top, Ritzoni be'eshes kohen muberes shekalu chashi bura. So she's in the ninth month. The kol shaita ika lemechash to psichas hakavir l'tzatz harosh. At any moment she could give birth. So at the point that she's ready to give birth, there's Tumas Vadai. Because, what's the concern? That once you're in the ninth month, there's no Chashash Nefil anymore. Nefil's only up to the ninth month. Once you're past the eighth month, there's no Chashash Nefil anymore. So there's no more Svek Sveka. So then there's what to be machmir about. So even if you're one day into the ninth month, the Ivis thing said you have to be machmir because you can't rely on the Svek Sveka anymore. Svek Sveka, then maybe it's in a cave, maybe it's a Nefel, that only applies for the first 8 months. Once you're in the ninth month, you're home free on the Nefel count. So at that point, you don't have a sex veka, and then it makes sense to be machmir that an Eishes Kohen shouldn't go into a Beis HaKfaris.
Against the
Rav Vazna Mishabur. Correct.
About 30 days after birth as well.
30 days after birth as well. So, right, that is a different cheshbon of what's considered an Eifel. I'm sorry?
Unless it was Kol HaKadosha, then it would.
Right. But he's coming from the perspective that any Yeledis, as you want to say, once you're in the ninth month, so that Chashash Nefel is, right? Meaning, correct, we're just saying the reason that there may be a Nefel status up to the first 30 days is we don't know whether it was the ninth month. But if we know for a fact, medically, it was the ninth month, then there's no Chashash Nefel. Okay, so he's working with the assumption that we know what the Cheshbon of months is. So Rabbi Karp in his Mishmeres Smachos close to Rav Yashiv, so Rav Yashiv thought he should be machmir like the Yavits. Until now we're talking about cemeteries, but we don't have so many occasions to walk into a cemetery nowadays, but we do have occasion to go to a hospital, especially if you're pregnant. So this is relevant, especially in Eretz Yisrael, if a woman is going to have a baby in a hospital. So are we concerned about the potential of Tumas Meis in a hospital for an Eishes Kohen? So Rav Yashiv is quoted as saying that you should be machmer like the Yavits, and a pregnant woman should not go into a hospital where there's a chashash, and maybe there's a mace in the hospital. So Shari Sadek has whatever alert system that they tell you if it's how exactly that works. I'm not sure how effective it is, I'm not sure. But if there's a chashash that there's a mace in the hospital, or there could be, so Rav Yashiv is quoted as saying that a pregnant woman shouldn't go have any tests in the hospital during the ninth month to avoid this problem, to be choshesh for the Yavits. And definitely the husband should go along under the circumstances for the tests. Rav Avadya isn't so concerned about it. Rav Avadya, in his Chazon Avadya, the beginning of Chelik Beis, says that, with all respect to the Yavits, it's against the many other Achronim, it's against Eliyahu Rabbi, it's against the Radvaz, Mishabura follows that Malach. So he thinks that the preponderance of Achronim is against the Yavits, like what we call the Mishabura, the Radvaz Udi Imei. And therefore, you don't have to be choshesh for the position of the Yavits. Question addressed by contemporary poskim is, let's say you know the gender of the baby, you know that it's going to be a boy. So then, does that change the calculus about going into the hospital in Eretz Yisrael? Or good source, if you know that there's a reason to believe there's a dead Yisrael in the hospital, or going to a Beis HaKfaris? And the flip side of that is, are you mechuyev to find out? If you know already, does that change the calculus? And if you have the ability to find out, does that also change the calculus? So Rav Ozner, Chelek Vav, Simen, Kuf, Ayin, Hey, towards the end of the Marmar Kamos here. So the Shoel wanted to say that once you know the gender, then it'll be us to go into the hospital, even to give birth in the hospital. So he says, third paragraph, Eini Maskim L'Zaklal. So first he quotes the Chasam Sofer, which is along the lines of the Radvaz, that we're only concerned when Yetzi Havlad, or about to give birth. So we're not really concerned about the Tumah when the baby is still in utero. And then he says, "Came the Kama Kol Nashim Halchos Olav Nei Tekufas Yitzias Avlad." So most women do not wait till the very last minute to go to the hospital. So there's no chashash that the baby already stuck its head out. The women plan in enough time to get there. Not that there are women who have the baby before they get to the hospital, but Kama Kol Nashim make it to the hospital and then make it before the baby starts to stick its head out. So therefore, you don't have to be concerned about Tumah in the hospital. And then he quotes Chacham Tzvi in the Tshuvas HaChadashos, the Nosaf of Siman Vav, that let's say you have a baby that there's a mace there, and you have to bring it to the mother, and you're going to pass through an area where there's Tumah's mace. So a situation where there's Sakana to keep the blood away from the baby. So then we're not concerned about the potential Tumas Kohanim for the blood. So if we assume that, let's say, once the baby's born, but then you have to whisk the baby out of the hospital right away. So anyway, the Mishnah Berurah paskins, although not everyone agrees, the Mishnah Berurah there assumes in Hashim Em Gimel that when it comes to Tumas Kohanim and the like, so there's no Chiyuv L'Hafrisha where the Katan's not Bar Havana. You can't put him in that situation, but if he's already there, you don't have to be Mahafrish him. But even in a situation where the baby was in the hospital, left, you have to bring him back to the hospital. So if there's any Pikuach Nefesh or Sakana situation, or even if it needs a mother, that would be Mutter, as the Chacham Tzvi says. So Rav Avadi writes that there's what to talk about, then maybe you should suggest to the Eishes Kohen Dafka not to find out the gender, so that you don't have to come out to the cheshbon of getting into the Sfek Sveika or removing the Sfek Sveika. The Dirshim Mishabur, of course, from this and Karel is the opposite, that Yudafka should find out the gender, because if it is going to be a boy, then you can't rely on the Sfek Sveika and you have to know about that. He quotes the other way from this and Karel is you don't have to find out, because even if you're a Mevara part of the Sfek Sveika, the Chiyav Levara Sfek Sveika is only if you're Mevara everything. But if you can only mivar half of the sex fake, you're not going to know if it's nafil, you only know if it's boy or girl, even though that's 99% of the question. They think that you don't necessarily have to be mivar. And the Rav Avadia quotes from Rav Fisher, Evan Yisrael, Chelechah, Simon, Ayin, Zayin, they think it's better not to do the ultrasound, not to find out the gender. But if you do find it out, so maybe the test isn't 100% conclusive anyway, and you can be mitzvah for other things to rely on. Just to conclude, Rav Ozner is another Shuvah Chayli Beis Simon Reish Hay that discusses through the lens of the question of Mafligim Besvina, putting yourself in a situation that you're going to have to rely on Pikuach Nefesh. So are you allowed to bring yourself in a situation where the baby's going to be born in a hospital and then it will be subject to Tumas Kohanim once the baby's born? So there's... what to rely on Barvacha as well. In Chutzlaris, the stakes are a little bit lower. So Moshe writes, which I think is a common practice, since Rover Akum, so unless you know that there's a Mace Yisrael there, if there's a compelling reason to have to go to the hospital, then Kohanim will have to go to hospitals. He says, even in Bellevue Hospital, Rover Nachrim. I don't know if more people used to go to, Bellevue Hospital, they talk to Rover Nachrim, but maybe in Columbia. But that's what he writes there, Chelek Beis, Simon Kuf, Samach Vav. Okay. In Shari Tzedek they do. That's not in every hospital.